Today's scripture is from Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9, the bronze serpent. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water. And we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who sees and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent and live. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Have any of you noticed the treasure box up here? It is to help us during worship because finally, we get to do some snake handling. You see, how often do you get verses about snakes? So this is thoroughly appropriate. I called a friend of mine. He and I were in college together. He taught biology for years and years and years and years and years and years more. And he's kind of a unique fellow. That's putting it nicely. And he has a nice snake collection. And so there's four snakes in that box. One's real benign, like a garden snake. Just, you know, small, innocent, more afraid of us than we are of it. Then there's a snake that'll squeeze you. You know, that kind of snake, like a python. Then there's a snake that'll bite you. It just bites. And then the last one, well, that's a real test of faith. Whoever gets that snake, your faith will be tested because it will kill you. Poisonous? Okay, who wants to go first? Brenda? Yeah, I'm not asking Betty. That girl will do anything. I once asked David to fall backwards and her to catch her. She was ready. She was going to do it. That's the black mamba that will kill you. You don't want that one, Peggy? No, Peggy. I say all that because I think in many ways we look at our sin the same way. We say, "Oh, that one's pretty harmless, like that garter snake. It won't do much. It was just a little white lie. It didn't mean anything." And then we have those sins that are like that python that just kind of wrap around and won't let go, and they squeeze. And they keep us from being what God made us to be and to be that fully. Then you have those serpents that bite. And there are sins we commit that hurt. We realize we're making a mistake and they hurt us. But the worst ones of all are those poisonous snakes that not only hurt us, but hurt others. They don't just harm ourselves. They harm families. They harm communities. They harm nations. So let's take a look and see what God says, what we can do about it. Lord, we thank you for this word, for the fact that you are so familiar with our snakes, our sins, and once again, and in miraculous, wonderful ways, you show your love, putting it on full display, and come with salvation. Yes, Lord, we always have great reason to praise, and we are grateful. Amen. Well, the Israelites can feel it. They are so close. The finish line is just ahead. Israel is coming to the end of their 40-year journey in a wilderness, in a desert. And it has been a difficult trip. The people have been rebellious, and they have suffered for their rebellion. That's what we find in the book of Numbers. The people simply could not stop rebelling. They worshiped idols. They complained about water. They complained about manna. They complained about Moses. They complained about water again. They complained about Moses again. And again and again and again. And here they are complaining about food and water one more time. They were ungrateful to God. They showed contempt for God. They questioned. They even opposed what God was doing. After 40 years of being led by God, by a tornado by day and a pillar of fire by night. You know, if I was walking somewhere and I'm being led by a tornado or a pillar of fire, I think my eyes would be opened. I think I'd see the light. After being miraculously fed by ravens, given manna, and falling from the sky, food after food. Excuse me. Water springing from a rock. None of that still was enough. Instead of being special, realizing they are chosen, knowing they are set apart for God, they were so rebellious, that they wanted to go back to Egypt. They were ready to choose slavery over God's care. How could they keep rebelling against God, against the Lord like that? Their lives were filled with miracles. A sea splits apart on command. Their enemies are overcome in the waters. Food falls from the sky. Water springs from a rock. As miraculous as the Magi being led by a star is in that story, so are all these things in this story. Everywhere they looked, there was another miracle to behold. Y'all need to pray for your preacher this morning. My goodness. There was another miracle to behold. Surrounded by miracles, but all they could do was complain over and over. How could they keep rebelling against the Lord like that? And isn't that one of the hard questions of Lent for us to answer also? You see, you and I are walking, breathing miracles, surrounded by the miracles of God, who have personally experienced God's love, God's providing, God's call, God's mercy, God's forgiveness, and grace, grace upon grace. And still we complain. We're thirsty. We don't like the food. We don't want to go hiking all the way around to eat them. It sounds just like a family vacation, doesn't it? Where are we? How long? The only thing missing is someone asking every 5 minutes, Moses, are we there yet? How much farther, Moses? Have you ever noticed that we keep doing and sharing the sacred meal of Holy Communion? Now, here at Aldersgate, we receive this blessed and blessing meal about every 6 weeks to remind us of the extraordinary blessing of God. I feel like I'm making faces at y'all. I am sorry, forgive me, please. I have been at churches where I served the Eucharist every Sunday, on the first Sunday of the month. I have been at churches where I served it every other month and also every week. What I have never done, never, is serve Holy Communion once and think that would be the last time I would ever serve it. Even when I conclude the worship with the words of Jesus saying, "Rise and sin no more," I know in 6 weeks we will be gathered around that sacred table seeking God's forgiveness again, because we are as good at sinning as the Israelites were. And God provided a snake cast in brass. "Look at it," God said. "It will heal you," God said. "It will save you," God said. And God provided the Son, the very best of heaven, and said, "Look at him, believe in him, and you will be saved." We need to remember that. There is a church in old Greenwich, Connecticut. That houses a very unique, one-of-a-kind cross. Actually, it is not the cross that is so special, but where the cross is positioned in the sanctuary. You see, the cross isn't on or above the altar. The cross in this church is bolted down into the concrete floor, right in middle of the aisle, between the pew and the altar. It's an obstruction. It's in the way. The pastor's words have to pass over or around or through it. The congregation's eyes always have it in view. It is a reminder to look and to live the cross. Look at your family. Do you see them through the cross? When we look at our jobs, our coworkers, do we see them through the cross? When we look at each other, do we see one another through the cross? When we're with friends, is a cross in our view because it's in our way? During the hymn, I invite you to join me at the altar rail. This is going to be a huge shock to you, but pastors in our humanity are pretty good at sinning too. We know what it's like to need communion more than just once and done. We understand that. If that's you too, join me. If kneeling or standing is too difficult for you, seek Jesus right where you are. God will come. God will come. Bring Jesus your snakes, your sins, your concerns, your every worry, because you and I are helpless. We can't do one thing about the snakes biting our ankles, destroying our lives. But Jesus can, and Jesus will. That chest of snakes, not real, but ours are. Let God take away your snakes. Join me as you are able.